Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning. Welcome to Spirit Mornings at Home. I'm Bruce McGregor, in Rome, Chris McGregor. And she has handed off her vaunted cell phone to the one, the only, the Vice President of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and a regular guest here on the morning show, Mike Aquilino. Mike, good morning. Or should I say buongiorno or good afternoon?
I guess it's afternoon now. We just finished the audience with the Holy Father, and it's a little bit afternoon. We're waiting for our bus, and that roar you hear is the crowd exiting from St. Peter's Square, and it was quite a crowd today, Bruce.
It was. Any estimates, Mike? Are you good at estimates?
I'm not good at estimates, but it looked pretty full to me, and they're braving some serious heat today. We're up in the 80s, and the sun is very bright, but what a great spirit. You can really feel the excitement because they're in the presence of the Holy Father, and they're here from every corner of the globe. It's an exciting time.
Yeah. Now, Mike, describe for us a little bit what the audience is like. Does the Pope speak in numerous languages? I think when I talked to Chris a little earlier, he was speaking Polish. How does the audience generally work?
Well, at the beginning of it, he gives his message, which is somewhat lengthy. He gives it in Italian. We were fortunate because an American priest was sitting with us, and he gave us a simultaneous translation of the long message. And then afterwards, he reads summaries of his address in different languages, about six or seven different languages, and he greets pilgrim groups from each of those language families. You know, and when he reads his English summary, for example, he'll greet the pilgrims from Australia and England and America and so on. And then at the end of all of those summaries and those greetings, we'll all rise and we say the Our Father in Latin. They give us the text and then he pronounces his blessing. So all of the pilgrims who have brought articles, for example, to be blessed, like rosaries and scapulars and medals and so on.
Right.
That's the moment when they receive the blessing. And I guess you're about to get an infusion of those into your lovely city.
Well, I think as we unfold our little conversation here, we'll talk about a bit about Christian symbols and things. But I was talking with Chris earlier, and yesterday it seems everyone had a really profound experience at the catacombs. And as a matter of fact, you gave a talk about the catacombs. This is something, Mike, that's always fascinated me, how they came to be, why the catacombs came into existence. Can you talk a little bit about that for us?
Well, Bruce, the crowd is very loud right now, and
oh,
the pilgrim group is starting to move, but I'm going to guess at your question and I'm about the catacombs. The catacombs were very important to the early Christian community, to the early church, because the martyrs were buried there, and the beloved dead were buried there. And it's just like any Catholic cemetery, Bruce, it's sacred ground because we have the remains of the saints. You know, St. Paul calls all of the Christians in the congregations he addressed, he calls them saints. He addresses them as saints because they are holy with the holiness of Christ. They've been brought into his body. They were baptized. And because of that, you know, these bodies will be resurrected. They're holy, and they're holy with the holiness of God. And so the catacombs were sacred ground in the ancient church, and they were treated like churches. They were decorated like churches. And we see that beauty. It's a very simple beauty. The artwork is primarily symbolic, and it expresses itself in a simple way to large congregations that could not read for the most part. And it tells them in pictures, it suggests them in pictures the mysteries of salvation.
Right. Now, Mike,
I came close to your question because we had a big surge of the crowd at the moment you were asking.
Yep, you absolutely got it. The first part of the question that you might not have heard was, how did the catacombs come about? Was it very commonplace at this point in time for people, be they pagan, Christians, Jewish, whatever, to, you know, make these very ornate areas and stuff underground to bury their dead?
Well, the preferred method for the Romans, as for most pagans, was not burial, but cremation. And burial really set the early Christians apart from from their pagan neighbors. As a matter of fact, one of the nicknames for the early Christians was the diggers, because we were always digging holes in the ground. And Julian the Apostate said that we piled up corpses. You know, we've littered the landscape with these corpses. But Christians did set themselves apart by making these cemeteries and by venerating them and venerating the bones of the saints. So that did set them apart in some ways. There are some pagan cemeteries, so this isn't an absolute and exclusively Christian thing. There are some pagan catacombs even, and there are certainly Jewish catacombs, because the Jews also buried their dead. But the catacombs did become something that was characteristically Christian. Does it enter it? I was stopped by a crossing guard and I got distracted.
Okay. Yeah, it was probably a lot of people exiting St. Peter's Square, huh?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. But it's good to be back in the catacombs for a moment, where it's nice and cool. Oh, so you asked a question about the making of the catacombs.
Yes, I did. But
the word catacomb actually means near the mines or below the mines. And so that they were built near near mine shafts, actually, and really dug with the same techniques that were used to construct the mines. So they we can see how they would dig these tunnels, and they would have the wherewithal to do it. It's probably some of the same laborers who were digging the mines, who were digging the catacombs, and they used probably a lot of the tools that my ancestors used as coal miners in northeastern Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So of course they had no power tools, and they had no explosives, and yet they built hundreds of kilometers of tunnels. So you can see the dedication they had to their task and the love they had for the martyrs.
Now, Mike, when I was talking with Chris, obviously her first time in Rome and her first time going through the catacombs and everything, and she had a very profound experience when she came upon St. Cecilia. I would imagine that,
oh yes,
you know, the profundities like that abound when you go and actually visit these catacombs.
For me, it was happening quite a bit because there was one time where you suddenly find yourself without warning in a little gallery in the catacombs where many of the early popes were buried. And you know me, Bruce, I'm such a history buff. I'm always digging around in ancient history, and all of a sudden I realized I'm at the very burial place of all of these men I've read about for so many years. And not only that, but I'm touching their tombs. It's not even like there's a wall between us. I'm touching their tombs. And that was a powerful experience for me. St. Cecilia is another one, because of course her incorrupt body was found after almost 2,000 years there.
Wow.
It was found after about 1,000, and then when it was moved after another few hundred years, it was found to be still incorrupt. So yes, there are all kinds of moments like that. And also, I thank God for Sister Herberta, who taught me Latin in high school, because I can still remember it. And I was reading the inscriptions, and I was so deeply moved by all the inscriptions, the touching expressions of love that these people left for their family members and for their priests, and especially for their popes.
Right.
It really did prepare me well for the Wednesday audience.
Pay attention to that Latin in school, everyone. There's your heads up from Mike Aquilina. Mike, let's talk a little bit about Christian symbols. I mean, when people were being martyred and being buried in the catacombs, did the persecution that led to the martyrdom of a lot of these people carry over into the catacombs or into the areas where people were being buried?
Well, there were times when the city here, and I don't know if it was empire-wide, but they did try to regulate visits to the graveyards, because it became very clear that that was a Christian thing to do, to gather at the graves of the martyrs. So they started to regulate it at certain points, and that would crop up every now and then. There's also I don't know this for a fact, but it seems to me that they often raided the imperial authorities would often raid Eucharistic assemblies. They would raid the Mass because the Mass was a target. You see people gathered on a Sunday morning. You know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you just round them up and put them in jail. And I would imagine that the catacombs were a similar target. You know, you keep your eye on the catacombs, and then you can catch some Christians. There's a wonderful novel that just came out from Scepter Press, and it's called Junia, and it's by Father Michael Geisler. And the sequel to the novel is about Junia's brother, Marcus. It's about a young man and a young woman living in the second century, the time of St. Justin Martyr. And just the action you're describing, that becomes a frequent occurrence in the plot, that they would hire private detectives to kind of scope out the catacombs, and you could identify people as Christian because of their visits there, and then you can denounce them to the authorities, and they'd have to be put in a position of either denying their faith or accepting martyrdom.
That's amazing. I'm just I feel like I'm kind of on the outside looking in here, and I really want to thank you for breaking a lot of that open now.
I wish you could be here with us.
Oh, me too. Are you on your way to Assisi? Is that the next stop?
We are. We're waiting for our bus to show up right now. We're leaning on the Vatican's walls and waiting for the bus. And I've never been to Assisi, so this will be a great experience for me. I've just heard wonderful things about it.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for navigating through the crowd and traffic and everything to talk and share with us here this morning. We deeply appreciate it.